Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
This morning I'm speaking on Christ in you. Somebody look at your neighbor, tell him Christ in you. Hallelujah. Christ where? In you. God always had a plan. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. Please, this is one of the most important messages you will ever hear. You know, when you are constructing a road, a highway, right? There's always a destination where that highway is supposed to arrive at. Isn't it? There's always a destination. But when you are constructing that highway, you will make culverts, isn't it? By the road, isn't it? You will build bridges. You may do a roundabout if you are doing the British design of roads. You know, there's a difference between the way the British design their roads and the way the Americans design their roads. The Americans design for speed. So when you go to Abuja, you can't find roundabouts because it is designed as an American highway. So you have large highways where 8 cars can be moving at the same time. And there's no roundabout. It's not supposed to create an opportunity for you to slow down. Are you getting me? So if you're designing a highway, you design it with a destination. But along that road, along where you are going to, you're going to have culverts, you're going to have bridges, you might have roundabouts, and so on and so forth. But let's assume you're designing a highway from Gombe to Bauchi. Is that okay? You're not going to call it the culvert from Gombe to Bauchi. What are you going to call it? The highway. Gombe-Bauchi highway. Is that right? The other things that you are constructing along with the highway are just either to make the highway effective or to help the people who are using it. Is that right? Now, I want you to hear me very well. Every other thing we are preaching in the Bible, is that right? They are just culverts, roundabouts. Are you hearing me? The real gospel is Christ in you. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? If you understand Christ in you, if you are traveling to Portiscombe or to Damaturu, if there are no culverts, will you still get there? If there are no roundabouts, will you still get there? If there are no junctions, will you still get there? Why? Because the highway is there. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I want you to hear what I'm about to say very seriously. The intention of God in all of Scripture, when you summarize it, is Christ in you. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When we teach about divine health, it's a subset of Christ in you. When we teach about deliverance, it's a subset of Christ in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remove Christ in you, then every other thing you are teaching is a waste. I don't want you to ever forget this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. In the beginning God said, let us make man, how? In our own image. How? After our likeness. Why? How does he put it? Let them, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them. In other words, it is the capacity to carry his image and his likeness that gives you power for dominion. Yeah. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Listen to me. The world is not afraid of your connection. The world is not afraid of your education. The world is not afraid of anything you think you possess. What the world is afraid of is Christ in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? is the capacity to carry the image and the likeness of God. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion. It is your ability to carry that Christ in you that gives you dominion. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? So if a man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creation. That means that he is something the world does not know. Let me tell you something. The world lacks the ability to define you the day you discover who you are in Christ. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? I said the world lacks the capacity or the ability to define you the day you discover who you are in him. If a man beware in Christ, what is he? He's a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are now what? New. If I was to give you something new you have never held before, if I gave you a new phone, a new kind of phone that you have never used before, what is the first thing you are going to do? You are going to have to study that phone, isn't it? You're going to have to make a discovery of how that phone operates, isn't it? I hope you know that Apple product and Android are not the same. If you have been using Android and I give you an Apple product, it's a new creation, sir, to you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You must be studied. That is why scripture will say to us, when they looked at man, they said to God, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" God has put you on the earth so that the earth will study you when you are in Christ. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? And so therefore, when we receive Jesus, listen to me, man lost that ability to operate in his image and his likeness. So God created a plan. Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1. God, who at sundry time and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Yes. Who being who? The brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So Jesus is who? The express image of God. He is the express image of the Father. Now listen to me. I want to show you something. You have to understand the end, what God wants to achieve with your life. What God wants to achieve with your life is not for you to buy a car. It's not for you to build a house. This is too small. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? God doesn't need you to be born again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is in these things that we have reduced God. Do you know that you don't need to be a Christian to build a house? Oh no, I'm asking you a question. How many of the houses you are renting belongs to even Christians? If I tell you something, can I even tell you that sometimes it seems to me that we waste prayers on things that we should be praying. We should be praying on something else. Because some of the people who are building houses and are buying cars are not praying. Give me Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 29. I'm telling you that believers have misused many believers have misused many of the reasons God has put them on the earth. We've reduced God to paying school fees. And I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying there's a greater use of God than that. We have reduced God to building house. Listen to our testimonies now. Listen to our testimony. What are the testimonies that we shout the most about? Somebody got a job. Somebody built a house. Somebody bought a car. Habba. God is too much for that. God is too much for that. There's a reason Jesus came. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to make you understand why Jesus came. There's a reason why he died. He more than getting married. Don't reduce him to getting married. Unbelievers are getting married every day. For whom he did foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, how many of you know that you are called? There's a calling of God upon you. When you get born again, you are called. God called you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you get saved, God called you. There are three levels of the calling of God. One of the levels of the first and important level of the calling of God is that God calls you into salvation. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now listen to what he said. Moreover, whom he did, them who he did predestinate. The word predestinate there means them whom God had already foreseen the kind of decisions they will make. Listen to me. God does not decide for you the decisions you make, but God knows the decisions you will make. And God makes his decisions concerning you based on the decisions that you are going to make. Did you hear what I said? God does not make decisions for you, but God knows the decisions you will make. And God makes his own decisions concerning you based on the decisions that he knows you will make. So when God says that Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated, it was not that God didn't like Esau. It was because God knew that Esau will become a profane person. That is that a person that does not put weight on important things. So God, based on the decision he knew Esau will eventually make, God chose Jacob. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that tells you that you should be very careful with your choices. And you should be very careful with how your heart follows things. Because God judges your heart even before you implement the things you are going to do. God sees this ahead. And God will make a decision about what you are going to do before you arrive there. Because God will not waste his resources on a man that is profane. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Is the reason why you will see two people, they seem to be walking to somewhere, to a destination with God. God will seem to walk with one and not walk with the other. The reason is that God has already seen the heart of that person, where that person will eventually arrive at. And God knows that if I make this investment in this man will not arrive at the destination I want him to arrive at. I will make that investment in this other person. And that's how people have missed out with God. You didn't say it, you didn't do it, but God saw what your heart was deciding. So to them, so when we talk about predestination in scripture, it's not like God loves this one will eventually arrive here. No, predestination in scripture is God that weighs the reins of the heart. He has already seen that this one day he will sell his birthright for a pot of stew. And so even though this one seems to be misbehaving today, this one will eventually seek my counsel. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. God knows that that is how you will make decisions. So God will take a Jacob and leave an Esau. So scripture says to us, to them who he predestinate, them he also called. So when he knew the state of their heart, are you hearing me? He called them. The Bible says, them whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he will what? Them he will what? Glorify. Which means the end of what God wants to do with you is to bring you into glory. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying today? The end, when after you have walked, the end of what God wants to make out of you. Are you hearing me? The end of what God wants to make with you. When God begins to walk with you today, with all your weaknesses, with all your imperfections, with all your challenges, with all your problems, if you will walk with him, he wants to bring you to a place. And the name of the place where he wants to bring you is the glory of God. The name of the place where God is bringing you is called the glory of God. And we read it in Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1, that Christ is the express image of God. The glory, listen to me. The glory of God means the weight that God carries, the power that God carries, the wisdom that God carries. That when you arrive here, There is something, there is an intention of God. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10. There's an intention of God when you arrive here. I will show you. There's an intention of God when you arrive here. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent, in other words, the reason I want to bring you here, that you will be like Christ, that you will now carry the image and the glory of Christ. Why? To the intent that now, to the principalities and to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Let me explain what that means. The meaning of that is that when you arrive here, here being that you now carry the glory of God. Don't forget the scripture we read before now. Christ in you is what? The hope of what? Glory. To them who he justified, what did he do? He glorified them. What does it mean to glorify them? To carry the glory of God and put it upon their lives. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying tonight? It is when a man, listen to me. I will share something with you today, but listen to me. There is a place you arrive in the glory of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That, listen, when I read it in the Greek, it blew my mind. This scripture in the Greek said that the church, that is the body of Christ, we are the classroom of angels. In other words, when angels want to understand God, how God operates, they come and look at our lives. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers. This is heaven talking to principalities and powers. Are you hearing me? In heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold. There's another translation. That's the only part that is affecting me with my notes. Another one says that the church might disclose to the world what the wisdom of God is. The many-sided wisdom of God. In other words, sir, there is something called the wisdom of God. And that wisdom of God is what God uses to operate on the earth. I'm talking to you about why Jesus went to the cross. Let me say it again. Jesus did not go to the cross just so that you can build a house. Jesus did not go to the cross so that you can buy a car. Jesus went to the cross so that you can carry the glory of God. That glory of God, I'm doing summary for those who didn't catch up. That glory of God is also called the image and the likeness of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that there's a reason why God wanted you to arrive at that image and likeness. It's so that you can carry the glory of God. And when you carry the glory of God, you can make the world know the manifold wisdom of God. Look at how the Amplified puts it. It says, so now through the church, the multifaceted wisdom of God in all of his countless aspects might now be made known, revealing the mystery to the angelic rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Do you know that demons are supposed to be studying you? They are supposed to be studying you. They are supposed to be looking at you and saying, how did this person arrive at this? How is it that a woman who has no womb got a baby? You're not hearing what I'm saying. You see, ba, it was the mistake Satan did. In the mind of Satan, which is the wisdom of this world, if he killed Jesus, is anybody hearing me? Because in his own mind, Jesus had to be alive to save. Don't you have to be alive to save people? If you want to save people, should you be dead to save people? You should be alive to save people, isn't it? So Satan concluded, he called all his generals. They had a meeting. Let's kill this guy. If we kill this guy, the plan of God will be finished. Let me announce to you, everyone that tried to kill you, and everyone that tried to suppress you, and everyone that tried to oppress you, only made you more powerful. That is how the wisdom of God works. The wisdom of this world says, stay alive. The wisdom of God says, die. You're not hearing what I'm saying. That except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abideth alone. But when it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. That is called the wisdom of God. It is not the wisdom of this world. Satan gathered all of his generals and all of his counselors. And in their wisdom, sir, they decided that the best way out is to kill this guy. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2. From verse 6 begins to tell us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 6. Let's look at the wisdom of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world. In other words, this world has a wisdom, but the wisdom we speak is not the wisdom of this world. It says, nor of the princes of this world that come to what? To naught, or that come to nothing. Yes. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our what? Now, I want you to notice something. The end of everything we've been talking about is what? The end of everything we're talking about is what? But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. That what God wants to achieve is for us to come into glory. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, let's continue. Verse 8. Which none of the princes of this world knew. Which means the wisdom of God is hidden from the princes of this world. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? But as it is written, what? I have not seen, no ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for them that love him. Which means that there is a wisdom of God that delivers to a man the things that God has prepared. And that wisdom, this world does not know it. May today be the last day you will operate by the wisdom of this world. May today be the last day you will operate by the wisdom of this world. So the real things are, when a man receives Jesus, within the life of that man begins the operation of the wisdom of God. That is that man will do things that common, it may even look as though it is going against common sense. So I had an experience 2 days ago, and I saw the wisdom of God in operation. I woke up in the morning in Jos, and Noah had packed for me. If you know me, all my staff will tell you, if you know me, I don't travel in kaftan. I don't travel in a suit. So if you know me well, all my staff, all the people who work with me, know that I don't wear suit. I don't wear, when I'm traveling, I want to be relaxed. I just put on a t-shirt, a shirt, maybe I put on something. So Noah had packed for me and everything. He had put on some flexible clothing for me to use. I had one that I would travel with too, and something that when I'm coming back I would, and then something that I was going to use when I was away. So I went for a meeting in Abuja and had already booked a car for Jos. And I called the executive taxi to find out if they are still going to Jos. That was on Tuesday. I said, yeah, they're going to Jos. So my meeting was late, so I ran out of the meeting straight into the car. And that kaftan I was wearing, that was what I went to Jos with. Got to Jos in the evening, changed, and everything. In the morning, so at about 8:30, I decided that let me get a Bolt. So I got a Bolt and took off for the park. As I was going to the park, the first thing I noticed was that there were no security presence all around town. You would drive from, is it Mararaban, what do they call it, when you're entering Jos from Abuja, up, there was no any serious security presence, not, apart from normal police station. There was no any serious checkpoint. The fellow's person, I said, a city that is under curfew, and then there's no security presence. That morning we woke up, drove from where I was staying in Rayfield, all the way through, what do they call this, terminus. There was no security presence. We got to that University of Jos where they pick passengers, and we're just about to take off. We just started noticing that people were running. People were running. I wanted to go and ease myself before moving. Then the Holy Spirit told me, don't go. Tell somebody the wisdom of God. So I stayed back, entered the car like that. As we entered the car, the driver, by that time,
before you reach, if you know Jos well, from that University of Jos that is inside town, you drive, you get to a junction where they call it Bauchi Junction, that you take a turn to your left, and then you get into that place that is like a bottleneck. So, as we were going there, I noticed people were lining up outside. Everybody was outside. So, the driver said, hey, let him get to the filling station. You know where the two filling stations are? Let me get to the filling station, and he'll buy fuel. I said, don't stop. I told the driver, I said, don't stop. Get out of here first, then stop and buy fuel. We drove. We just passed that place where people sell suya and everything. The next thing I just saw, guys were bringing machetes out. We're driving down. They just rolled a stone in front of our car. Our car was the first car. That video you saw was behind me. They just rolled the stone. Six guys just came out with machetes. Two by my window. One is standing in front of the car and everything. And they said, so waske chicken soka, soka, soka. Waske chicken water na asoka. I was by the window. There were three guys. The machete was on my hand. My hand was by the window like this. And I didn't know. I just looked at them and said, Wendo kuki nema basa motana. Wendo kuki nema basa motana. And the guys believed me. May God give you utterance on the day that you need utterance. They went to the back. The man at the back was trying to open the car for them to check. Then the driver tried to put on the car. The car will not come on. Fuel has finished. We're sitting ducks right there. The boy you were seeing, they macheted him behind us. The car will not move. We were sitting ducks there. Then all of a sudden, from nowhere, when you are driving a manual car and it's having problem maybe with the plugs, you know the way it will shoot. There was no fuel. It was as if something pushed the car from the back, just pushed it. Our car rolled over the stones that they kept. Rolled over the stone. And if you know the place very well, you know it's a steep this thing. So the bus started going down by itself. Then I just told the driver, I said, I saw, you know that University of Jos, there's a gate, there's like a staff gate. I told him, I said, drive into, the driver was, I almost slapped him, I said, drive in there. He turned and drove into the place. The University of Jos security men came and said, we're not going to enter. So we couldn't go back, we couldn't go forward, we couldn't go sideways. And behind us, they were killing people. Then suddenly, I told the driver, try that thing again. So the driver tried and the car started. And we drove out and then we were able to get fuel and get out. Nobody could say anything in the car until we got to Bauchi. Nobody said a word. When we got to Bauchi, the driver looked at me and said, Kewaniri Mutuno, which kind of man are you? Then he said, I've never seen a man calm like this in this kind of situation. Then he said something to me. He said, the mistake we would have made would have been for anybody to try to open the door or try to run or try. He said, the moment anybody had shown panic, he said, these people would have killed us. The driver looked at me and said, he said, catch a chimuyo. And when I looked at the situation, I said, Christ in me. I knew. Listen to me. All the people who told you that they saw death and that they calculated something and that they escaped, go and tell them, I met death 2 days ago and I'm telling them that they lied. Anybody who met death and told you that there was a wisdom that came to him by which he escaped that thing, the only way you can escape it is that Christ did something in the situation. I say, is that Christ did something in the situation. So when I saw videos of the same people who passed that place, you know the first thing, let me tell you something. The first thing that happened to me was that I couldn't even tell the story. Christ in you. I didn't know where the wisdom came. No, was that a proper response?
How would your mind even coordinate to respond? If somebody was holding a machete close to you, even if it's your brother, will you not be begging the person? They told me, they said, if you beg them, you are gone. There is no begging. They came around. I just sat down there and I said to them, I didn't even know that I was calm. It was the people in the bus that told me I was calm. Because me, I knew inside I was not calm. Inside, I was not calm. There was nothing that looked like calmness close to me. Christ in you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? If a man be in Christ, and as much as a human being, I want to say, Kai, if God had not delivered, the Holy Spirit kept telling me that is supposed to be the normal. You're not hearing what I said. Am I the first believer that faced death? Did Daniel not face death? I'm asking you a question. Was he not thrown into a lion's den? So listen to me. It is not an unusual thing in the kingdom. It is the manifold wisdom of God. I saw the policewoman in front of the gate run away. When the woman she saw, I just saw her take off. I saw her entering a car and taking off. Six of them. Two were guarding the stones. Four of them approached our car. And they said, somehow, I didn't know where the courage came. I didn't soka. I didn't even look at their face. Sincerely, I was looking at the one in front of the car. And I said, Wondokuke Nema, Pastor Chikimoten. The people you are looking for, they're not in this car. I didn't know the revelation until I reached Gombe. No, you don't understand. It was as I was thinking over it, the revelation came. The ones that you want to kill, they are not in this car. It's the wisdom of God. Human wisdom will say, start begging them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Human wisdom, you will start making calls, telling people this is your last day. Human wisdom, you will try escape. Where will you escape to? Where will you escape to? Those are the ones you saw, the ones in front of you. You don't know the ones you passed. You don't know the ones that are standing ahead of you. That day, sir, I understood the scripture that says, not one hair on your body falls without him giving permission for it. It's the wisdom of God. On that day, I understood. When the man was talking, when the driver was talking to me, I understood what scripture meant by even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I met death. It is, you can touch it. You know, scripture talks about death as being the last personality that will be destroyed. Death is not a window. Death is a person. When you meet him, you will know you met him. You will smell him. It's the reason why soldiers that go to war and come back, they don't think correct again. If they've really been to the battlefront, they don't think correctly again. Because you can't meet death and be normal. I met him in living color. Do you know the funny thing? The first thought, when Satan started, you know, when you meet him, he begins to give you some ideas. So the first thing I said, this year, I will not be at Missions Week. I don't know why it's Missions Week I was thinking about. Then the wisdom of God. That was my humanity talking. Then the wisdom of God came. We speak wisdom among them who are mature. Christ in you is the hope. That no matter the circumstance you find yourself, Christ in you is hope you will survive it. Christ in you is hope that you will make it through. Let's stand to our feet. Jesus died for a purpose. That Christ may be found in you and you may be found in him. Tonight, before we pray any prayer,
I didn't know I would share my testimony today because I wanted to leave it for a proper day and do a thanksgiving. I saw death by the whiskers. They put their knife, they were hitting the door, and the blade was touching me. Some people say they were inches. I wasn't inches. We were touching each other. Can you give God thanks for me? Give God thanks for me that I'm standing here today. Help me thank God. Help me to thank God. I'm alive today because God kept me.
I'm alive today.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.